Okay, so I've said quite a lot about integration. I'm just going to say a little bit about mindfulness per se, because the other thing is about mindfulness practice. Okay, so in his system of meditation, Bhante corresponded different sitting practices as a starting point for each of the four stages of meditation, which Kula Prabha sort of spoke about. And just as one point, if we think about integration as more the samatha side of things, I just like to point out that there's two routes to samatha. One is giving the mind something very simple to focus on, like the mindfulness of breathing. But another is to give the mind a lot to focus on so as to keep it out of trouble. And that just depends on your temperament. So that's just one thing you could have in mind. So for some people, the going for refuge and prostration practice is actually a very effective samatha practice, and it's very different than a very simple pared-down practice. I think integration goes further than samatha, but just on that level. So mindfulness practices, sort of the category, what we might call mindfulness practices, span a lot more than the mindfulness of breathing in four stages that we are all introduced to. They also include the four foundations of mindfulness. There's, I think, increasing interest in the Satipatthana Sutta and how that can inform our meditation. The four foundations of mindfulness are bringing our awareness to the body, kaya, feelings, vedana, and emotions, actually some of the reactions to those feelings, and mind, citta, and dhammas, or we could say even reality itself. But I'll just say that I think there are very, very, they're incredible practices. They really are incredible practices. And I'll just say very briefly some of the things that's, I think, quite incredible about them. One is just that the four foundations start with the body. And we all know about Sangharakshita's warning about alienated awareness. I think being aware of the body is another very simple way, very simple thing we can do to avoid alienated awareness, because it's what's tangibly happening. So Taitetsu Uno of the Pure Land tradition writes that the final test of real transformation is a body-mind that has become supple, pliant, and gentle. The somatic emphasis helps us avoid playing mind games and engaging in discursive strategies. So just the body as it is, fantastic. You know, tells you what's going on. The second thing is it's a meditative equivalent to the dharmic emphasis that we have quite a lot of in the FWBO. So there's quite a lot of Bhante's teaching on the wheel and the spiral, and that point between feeling and craving where we can move towards liberation. And these practices actually give us a meditative way to directly, experientially work on that, which informs the whole of our lives. Very powerful in and out of meditation. So it gives us ways to be mindful even when we're not in formal sitting meditation. And the fourth thing, I don't know so much about how the work in the Satipatthana Sutta is going. I'm really actually very excited to hear about it. But in the Anapanasati Sutta, the 16 instructions use conditioned co-production to our advantage. So it's happening all the time, but we're actually using it as a creative process and building up the conditions quite systematically for becoming more open. But it's a way of working in complete, honest, full awareness. So it's a great combination of form and emptiness. Okay, so some of the other practices that may not classically fall into mindfulness as we've sort of defined it in the past is mindfulness meditation that's been called formless. It does have a form, it's just that there's no particular object of concentration. So it's not particularly the breath or particularly the body. It's called pure awareness practice, and we're just mindful, aware of whatever presents itself. It's something that I think is developing and there'll be more and more of. Then there is another category, which kind of falls in the immanence category, if you heard that language, which really is meditation based on the view of our Buddha nature. That really, if we ask what the nature of mind is in its deepest nature, what's the nature of that ocean, that it is shunyata. Our mind is shunyata. Our mind is luminous by nature, meaning aware. And it's, by nature, it's compassionate. So it's quite a different way of meditating because it rests on this view, and then it's the meditation of non-meditation, Dzogchen or Mahamudra, where we just relax into mind as it most deeply is, So the there is no meditator as such. The self that we usually think of is not meditating. We're actually just trying to release all striving and rest in the mind as it most deeply is. And I think this is something that's maybe the least familiar to what Bhante's taught. And then there's something that Bhante has defined as just sitting. I think we have a rectification of terms now in the movement. Just sitting means now, at the end of a period of meditation, just absorbing what's happened, no longer making effort, and just absorbing the fruits of the practice. It seems like an increasing number of order members find themselves meditating in these ways that aren't necessarily so developed in our tradition. Pure awareness, Mahamudra, Dzogchen, those kinds of things. Actually, your practice may not be going that way. So it's not that I think everyone's practice needs to go that way at all. But to the degree that people's practices are, I think this is an area where some people have wondered whether what they're doing is part of the order system of meditation. Chittapala has tried to make a connection. He was working with Tejananda and Kamala Shila and myself on that, and I'm not sure it's entirely satisfactory, actually. It's quite hard to edit over email. Kamala Shila suggested maybe just forgetting it and just saying it's not in the system, but we still do it. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not that bothered by it, really. I go back to something Kula Prabhupada said, which is I think Sangha actually has left us with room to do practices that are spiritually beneficial. I think the criteria that she read out is something in my feeling that these practices do fulfill: expansion of consciousness, greater empathy. I mean, just on the empathetic point, if we're willing to experience our mind as it really is, that is the best basis of compassion. I mean, usually I think we think of ourselves as quite separate, having this unique experience, probably slightly more together than the rest of the world, from our viewpoint. And if we really recognize how much confusion there is, you know, with kind clarity, this is such a fantastic meeting point, those thousands of meeting points for other beings. And I think, you know, that's in this practice as well. So that's just by way of the terrain of the practices.